Welcome back to the next episode of Let's Talk Security Testing, the podcast where we discuss all things security testing. Now, you might know that once again we are in a new studio. Tom, why are we in a new studio?
So that our audience can hear us.
Yes, so we made a big announcement that we've got this new setup, new or same host, new setup. It didn't work very well. If you listen to the last couple of episodes, you'll know why. So here we are again with a new setup, but same hosts, ready for an exciting year of filming this podcast. So today we are going to focus on threat modelling. You'll probably, I mean, if you follow the company, you'll hear us talking about threat modelling in various different walks of life. But we wanted to do a bit of a deep dive into it and try and understand threat modelling, I guess, in a slightly deeper way. But before all that, why don't we try understanding threat modelling at a very, very, very surface level. Tom, is there any examples you might have in your real life, your life, of threat modelling and how it might be useful in just maybe everyday situations? Let's see if we can think of a few.
I guess if you look at like securing your home, you know, that's probably a good thing that most people can imagine.
Yeah.
Threat modelling against, right?
Go on then. What would the threat model look like for Thomas Ballin's flat?
Well, I mean, to be a true threat model, I think you've probably got to consider three things: what somebody malicious might want to do, what conditions need to be available for that person to do it, and what the impact of that might be. So, a person might want to steal my TV, right? Mm. That would be the threat. The condition or the vulnerability in order to do that might be, let's say, an open window, for example, or an unlocked door. And then the result of that, the risk associated with it, is a property loss, a financial loss, a loss to me in terms of that TV having been taken. I think, you know, what? I guess that's one example. What else can we think of? What have you got on your list?
I can't say I'm as clued up on threat modelling in that way. But let's pick another one. Just, I don't know. How would you threat model your mother-in-law coming round unannounced? What's the first step? Let's just work through it as a team. What would the first step be? We've got to identify a threat.
Yeah, sure. So what bad thing might your mother-in-law want to do?
What bad thing might your mother-in-law want to do? Let's go with criticise the food.
Yeah, criticise the food. That's reasonable intention. Okay, so what conditions need to be present for your mother-in-law to criticise the food?
We need some food, probably, sure. In order for the criticism to be a valid threat. The food would need to be prepared at home by yourself, I suspect, using, you know, a recipe familiar to oneself.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, I guess a bad recipe would be the condition. And what's the impact? Why does it matter?
Self-esteem,
yeah. Yeah. Damage to your relationship with your mother, damage to your confidence.
Possibly developing into further arguments and more serious conflicts. You know, it's often known as a sort of gateway threat.
Sure. So okay, so you can't just make terms
up. Right.
Okay, so that's great. So mother-in-law's coming over. We figured out she might want to criticise the food. We've figured out that in order for her to do that, the recipe has to be bad, or the quality of the food has to be bad. And we don't want her to do that because it'll knock our self-esteem, right? So why, what's the point of doing that? Why have we just thought about all these things?
Because we are trying to be better prepared for outcomes, no?
Yeah, I think managing the conditions, right? It's being aware of the things that we care about and being aware of what might be able to happen so that we can choose if it really matters to us, so that we can choose to take actions to try and prevent it. Okay, so let's look at an example that's slightly more technical, shall we? Let's look at an actual application, a threat model for an application, mm-hmm. right? So a new payment flow in a e-commerce application, for example. What threat might we think of in a payment flow?
So, obviously, the threat in this occasion is we're talking about what a malicious actor might want to do or might attempt to do with a payment flow. So, I mean, popular ones would be, you know, trying to bypass it in some way to be able to make it think like you've paid for something when you haven't.
Yeah, I think that's a good example. So bypassing a payment flow needs a vulnerability, right? You can't just bypass every payment flow. So what vulnerability goes into making that threat possible?
Some kind of maybe a logic flaw?
A business logic flaw, perfect. So the threat, bypassing a payment flow.
Yep.
The vulnerability, business logic flaw. What's the impact? What's the risk?
Oh, I mean, monumental, isn't it, really? In that sort of situation, the risk ultimately is, it depends, I guess, what type of organisation you are. If you're an e-com store, I guess there's a financial risk to being defrauded in some way. If you are a payment application, there's potentially, business-ending risk because of the amount of people that rely on you to support a secure payment gateway. I suspect, yeah, that might result in quite detrimental consequences for the business.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. And so I guess at that point, what can you do, right? You've identified this risk, you've identified these vulnerabilities and the threat. What are you supposed to do with that information?
I guess look at the conditions and the vulnerabilities that make the threat possible and do what you can to mitigate them, given the impact being so high.
Yeah. I mean, obviously conditions to mitigate them, we're focused on security testing, right? How is security testing a condition that mitigates those kinds of conditions?
Well, it gives you visibility, ideally, into the vulnerability that makes the action possible.
Yeah. And more than just that as well, it tells you whether or not those mitigations that you may have applied have been effective, right? It's about validating that actually the things that are being turned up in your threat model have sufficient controls against them. Because we're not expecting that what actually happens is you create this threat model, create a list of vulnerabilities that might potentially be there, and you are always susceptible to them. We're expecting that this spits out a list of things you need to consider, and then you can go away and look at whether you've got compensating controls, whether you've got education, whether you've got things in the play in place to be able to prevent them.
Yeah.
Okay, so at a very high level, that's threat modelling, right? But and I think that's quite an interesting and a very simple way to be able to look at it. I think it's worth looking at a few of the ways that industry recognises it actually providing a bit more structure to what a threat model is. So for this next one, I'd like to pick up off of what OWASP recommends in terms of threat modelling. So it suggests if you're creating a threat model, you ask four specific questions every time. First question is, what are we working on, right? So let's take another example, move on from a payment flow. Introducing an admin panel, right? So what kinds of things might we want to do to answer the question, what are we working on?
What are we working on? So I guess that could mean us actually what the system is, what it does, what it's, I guess, made up of. In terms of its tech stack,
yeah,
like physically, what is it?
Exactly. It's you know, in a traditional pen test, it's the scope. It's what inputs are there, what outputs are there, how does data interact with the platform under test, right? And that moves on then to the second question. Once you know what there is, the next question is, what can go wrong? So in an admin panel, what can go wrong? It's obviously, we can try and guess and throw ideas out there, but there are existing frameworks that exist to help us with this, right? There's STRIDE, for example, is a simple acronym used pretty popular in the threat modeling space that says, when you are considering what can go wrong, consider the following five things: spoofing, tampering, repudiation, information disclosure, denial of service, and elevation of privileges. So an admin panel, you know, spoofing might be impersonating another user, for example. That's elevation of privileges, sorry, that might be. Repudiation might be if you can change another person's details and it's not recorded that you were the person changing their details, then obviously it can make it look like somebody else did something. Throw me another example. What kind of threat might we be seeing for an admin panel?
Things like trying to hijack a real admin session inside of the admin panel.
Yeah, so that's a perfect example of spoofing. How about what another one?
You're doing so, I've got no more left.
I am going to. That's the point of threat modelling, right? Is you've got these core domains that you consider in, and then you're just working between yourself to really try and fill it out with as many different thoughts and concepts as you can. But it is hard to do, I think, you know, as we're experiencing now, it is hard to do yourself. You know, where would you turn to if you were trying to come up with these kinds of ideas, and maybe you had threat modeler's block, let's call it?
What, if I was working in a business?
Yeah.
I mean, by the sounds of it, there's many, many people you can ask that do various... I mean, not to... You wouldn't necessarily walk up to, I don't know, the janitor and say, can you help me with this threat model? But if you actually look at the various components that make up the threat model, there are many stakeholders that could contribute to threat, for example, because I guess it is just kind of out there. That's the kind of wild thinking element of it. But when it comes to what the conditions could be and what the vulnerabilities could be, you know, especially when you start to fold in things like physical security, I mean, you know, many, many people in a business that would have, you know, information or nuggets of information that might be able to support that thinking.
Yeah, people is a brilliant one, and it's really good to engage people in being able to contribute into that threat model. But thinking, you know, 2025, like...
Would large language models be a good way to look at threat modelling?
Yeah, I mean, large language models, obviously, they're a brilliant resource for being able to maybe fill in the gaps between what a person's able to accomplish. You know, teams are brilliant for doing these kinds of things, but sometimes they lack a bit of inspiration, or sometimes they're just too busy to be able to fill in the threat model. And I think language models are a brilliant tool in the arsenal, especially in the modern day, as they're just getting better and better at being able to do these kinds of threat models. And, you know, one of the cool things about them is you can do it on every single change at that point, right? You know, in a traditional threat model, you'd only really do it on a whole application or maybe a regular basis. You might do it on a significant change, but you're doing it a few times a year, typically. With language models, you can do it on every single development ticket. You know, you can take every ticket, you can ask the model to produce this detailed threat model that then, you know, the opportunities of the things that you can do with that are endless. I mean, I know you've been having some conversations with customers who've been trying to accomplish this, and you know, what kinds of things are they able to do when you get down to that micro level?
I mean, I don't think anyone really gets down to the micro level being discussed here. Oftentimes, from a threat modelling standpoint, if we're looking at changes, it's usually more user story based, and it's often in partnership with the development team around major releases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, encapsulates things like new features, because that's almost adding to the application threat model rather than drawing from existing features where we see changes like, you know, library upgrades or bug fixes. You know, not to say that they should be exclusively focused on, but obviously there is a distinct difference between we're building this new module with a bunch of new input fields and new use cases versus, you know, your more everyday change that a developer might do and might quite easily go under the radar, but could just as easily introduce as harmful, if not more harmful, vulnerability than what's being discussed on the, say, cooler, sexier side, but on the kind of more atypical side of, like, yeah, like new features.
Okay.
If they're doing it at all, right? You know, these are the select businesses that are,
yeah,
that are trying to use threat modeling as a mechanism for shifting left, for want of a better phrase.
Okay, but you say as a mechanism for shifting left. What are they actually doing? They can produce these models, and the level of granularity might vary. But what are they doing with the models? What happens with that data?
Well, I mean, they're using the models to inform them as to what testing is required in order to release a change or get comfortable with a change, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything? Anything else? Is it all feeding the testing, or, you know, does it contribute into the development team, for example, as well?
I mean, now we're getting into the depths of my discovery capability, but yes, I mean, ultimately, yeah, reinforms development teams. I think it's an interesting one, isn't it? It's often we see it done at a point in time in order to inform testing, and that's the security program's work. Obviously, it can be even more useful if it's done at design stage, and we do see security being brought in at that point and threat modeling being done at that point. I guess the challenge with that is that whether anything changes in between the threat model being done at design stage and the threat model being done as something's about to go into QA, just because of the nuances with dev and how dev can take a more windy path than what might look like they're going to take from the outset.
That's, I think what I'm really getting at here and why I think it's an important question to ask is because we went on a little bit of a tangent, but I was talking about the four questions that I was ask, right? The first two questions we covered, what are we working on and what can go wrong? The last two questions are the two things that you do with what we'd usually talk about in a threat model, which is, what are we going to do about it? I.e., are we going to set security requirements for the development team? Are we going to introduce compensating controls? Are we going to mitigate? Are we going to transfer the risk? What is our intention to solve or otherwise deal with the problems? And then the final thing, did we do a good job? Let's measure whether or not we are performing by looking at these threat models against the reality of the situation when you perform the tests. Are the vulnerabilities there that we said that we were going to mitigate or resolve? And I think that shows the opportunity for a threat model, really, is it can inform the developers, it can inform the testers, it can inform the management information. It can really tell you fundamentally whether or not you are or you aren't accomplishing your security objectives inside the business.
Awesome. Okay, I think that's a good overview. I think we should probably do another session and dive into it even deeper, to be honest. But I think that's a good overview. I hope you enjoyed listening to Tom's incredible description on threat modeling and my ramblings at times. I hope I kept it interesting, if nothing else. I think Tom feels like he's pulling teeth a little bit today. And that calls a wrap on today. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you again in a couple of weeks.
Bye now.